We're going to be in Psalm 146 tonight, and I actually changed the message because we were going to be continuing our study, and we're going to get into an area on limiting the Holy One of Israel in Psalm 78, and but I figured that we might need some encouraging more tonight, and let me share something with you. I came across this a while back. And it has nothing to do with the message, but I think it's really important to share. It's entitled, Do You Know That? Now listen to this. This is really kind of cool. Do you know that Psalm 118 is the middle chapter in the entire Bible? Have you all ever heard this before? Because I'm not going to read it again. Huh? Who didn't? All right. You probably just weren't listening. All right, Psalm 118 is the middle chapter in the entire Bible. Psalm 117, before Psalm 118, is the shortest chapter in the Bible. How many verses? Anybody know?
Two.
Psalm 119, after Psalm 118, is the longest chapter in the Bible. The Bible has 594 chapters before Psalm 118 and 594 chapters after Psalm 118, if you add up all the chapters except Psalm 118, you get a total of 1,188 chapters. 1,188, or Psalm 118, verse 8, is the middle verse of the entire Bible. Now, should the central verse not have an important message, and it says in Psalm 118, 8, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Now, isn't that not perfect for tonight? All right. So, if you heard it before, praise the Lord. If you heard it again, you needed to hear it again tonight. Amen? And if it's your first time, you can never say, I didn't hear that before. All right? And Psalm 146, we're going to talk about, and there's an outline back there if you need one, why Christians should be happy. And what's the key phrase in there? Anybody have any idea? It's the word, two words, should be. Should be. Why Christians should be happy. And I want you to look at Psalm 146 with us tonight. We're going to read all 10 verses of this, and then we'll come back and look at some of this here. But notice what it says here. Keeping in mind our world and its situations that are happening. Look what it says in verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord. It didn't say because everything was going right. It just is showing that he is worthy of it no matter what. Praise ye the Lord. Look what it says, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. Now, how many of y'all are still breathing tonight? Say amen. Amen. Then why don't you take it real quick and just say, I praise you, Lord. There you go. He says, we're supposed to do this, right? While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Now watch, happy, there's our word. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executed judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he shall turn upside down. By the way, this is still true today, all right? Not just in the days of it being written. Then verse 10, the Lord shall reign for how long, everybody? Except for 2020, right? No, he's still reigning right now. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. It begins, those are the bookends. Praise ye the Lord begins it. Praise ye the Lord ends it. Now, why, when we look at all of our situations that are happening in our world, in our nation, in our personal lives, in our families, why should we be happy? And notice what it says there in our text here in verse 5. Happy is he. Now, what brings about this happiness? That hath the God of Jacob. How many of you have the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, each one of us that have received the Messiah, the Christ. He says, based upon what you possess or who you possess, that should be only reason that you and I are happy tonight. That's all we need. We might have nothing else. That's all we need. Now, follow along as we get into this. A couple of things we're going to look at, four things in particular. Why Christians should be happy. Number one, if you have your outline there, because we are redeemed by the Lord. In order for you and I to have the God of Jacob, we have had to have been redeemed. So we are redeemed by the Lord. Peter tells us this in 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You and I have been redeemed. 1 Peter reminds us. That's how we became owners, if you would, if I can use that term, of the God of Jacob, that we possess him. The word redeemed here that Peter's talking about, that you and I have been redeemed by the precious blood, the word redeemed means to be cleared by payment. You and I have been cleared. We have passed what was necessary to have entrance into the glories of God. And it's because there was a payment was made. To be clear by payment, it means to obtain a release, to be restored. Christians, we all should be happy because our sins, that means are forgiven, and our guilt and its penalty has been removed. In spite of who wins tonight or tomorrow or the next day or however long they take to figure this thing out, God already knows. I'm sorry, we're all the same dust, correct? We all came from the same clay, and we allow ourselves to get worked up over temporal things. I told Brother Don before I got up, I said, this world is not my home. That's right. We sing that, don't we? Do we believe what we sing? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And if there's a reason to be happy tonight, it is not because, I tell you what, even if Trump was to pull this out, that's not a reason. That should not be the basis of our happiness. That can add to it, I guess. Huh? But it should not be the basis of it. Our basis here is in verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob. Look what it says. For his help. For his help. Did you know that the word redeemed is used in 34 out of 39 Old Testament books? Pretty powerful. It is used 15 out of 27 New Testament books. The last time it's spoken of is in Revelation 5, and it says, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. In chapter 5, that's after John gets caught up in the chapter 4, and he's seeing everything from a heavenly perspective, I think he's seeing you and I, if you are redeemed tonight, singing that song in chapter 5. Psalm 71:23 says this, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. Why? And my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Redeemed, we sing how I love to proclaim it, right? In Ephesians 1, in whom we have what, everybody? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom, in case you didn't hear what he said in Ephesians, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, listen, eternal redemption for us. Now, be honest with me tonight. Doesn't that make our situation nationally kind of shrink in size? That we're going to be singing in chapter 5. We're going to be living out chapter 5 one of these days. Just like Mary and Joseph were living out the prophecy of Micah and Isaiah. That was prophetic hundreds of years prior, and yet it was actively kicked in and became a reality in their lives. And folks, we all know that the end days, we're living in the last days, and that somewhere along the line, this is all going to take place somewhere, whether it's this election or the next one or wherever, or somewhere in between. But he says, I want you to understand, you could be happy because you are redeemed. That's number one, why Christians should be redeemed. Number two, another reason why Christians should be redeemed is, should be happy. Sorry, cut myself. Should be happy is because they are redeemed. But look what it says, they are resting in the Lord. They are resting in the Lord. In Psalm 37, if you want to flip over there, I want you to look with me at some things here in this psalm. Psalm 37. In Psalm 37, look if you would at verse number 7. Look what it says. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. You ready for the next word there? Fret not thyself. Why? Because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. By the way, this is not part of it, but it's a good one here. Cease from anger. Anybody here gotten angry lately over what's happening in the elections and a little bit, huh? Okay, as of tonight, God says, I want this to stop. Cease from anger. And the only way, listen, the only way that will happen is if you and I will rest in the Lord. That's a sign that we're not resting. Rest is to find peace and quietness. And when I allow myself to get worked up, and Kevin Heimer, the Heimer family can get worked up. It's generational. Anger runs in my family. Spouting things runs generational. But I have been brought into a new birth. And so I now have the ability and the power by the grace and through the Spirit to obey this. Now, do we always do that?
No. Crab,
you want to be a crab tonight? That's your choice. We are wasting juice on that. So he says, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, and quit fretting. Now, notice something here in verse 7, because verse 7 is preceded by other verses. What allows me to rest? Well, look, go back to verse 3. Look what it says in verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord, right? What does it say in verse 4? Delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And then you and I can find rest. You see, rest is the caboose of the engine trust. And the cars in between is delight and commit. Folks, this is easier to read than it is to be performed, correct? And yet God says, I have given you my Holy Spirit to perform it now. We have the ability to do that. If you want to be happy. Now, sometimes we don't want to be happy. Sometimes we want to be, listen, we enjoy our depression sessions, don't we? We sometimes like to just wallow in our, that's just, and we say, well, that's just my personality. It really is. But we're not supposed to be allowing our personality to be lived out, correct? Again, this is easy for me to preach, all right, than it is for me to live out. I wasn't happy today. I wasn't happy today. And I had to get right before I could preach this message. Matter of fact, I thought, I'll go ahead and preach Psalm 78. That'll be easier because that's not a good thing. God had to rebuke them, so I can vent right along with God, you know. But no, God says, we need this, and I think we all need to be happy tonight. You see, a lot of times we rush, and people, we wear ourselves out when we're supposed to be resting in the Lord. And we can wear ourselves out physically, we can wear ourselves out emotionally, and we can wear ourselves out spiritually. And we allow things to build up, we get frustrated, becomes miserable. The word rest here that David is using here means to be refreshed and made quiet. It speaks of, listen, relief, but also freedom. Rest brings freedom, freedom from fretting, freedom from anger, as we saw. You want another interesting stat? The word rest appears in the Bible, which, by the way, is God's infallible word, 504 times. God tells his people to rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you what? Rest. Rest. Christians should be happy because we can cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. Psalm 16 and verse 9 says, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. I just read Revelation 5, 9. We see the end result. Is it not coming? We are one day closer to Revelation 5, 9 than we were yesterday. That's our hope. And he says here for us in this situation, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. You see, he wants to not just bear our sins, which he did, but he also wants to bear our burdens, our responsibilities, those things that are every weight that hinders us. Psalm chapter 23, we're familiar with that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to what? Lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me what? Beside the still waters. He what? Restores my soul. He restores my soul. It all speaks of rest. We have two Christian ladies in the Bible. They both live in the same house. They're both sisters. One's name is Mary, one's name is Martha. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into the certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had let me to serve alone? I wonder if we ever speak to the Lord with such manner. The disciples said, carest thou not that we perish? She's saying, don't you care that my sister's left me? How many of us in our times of not resting in God are questioning his care? Don't you care about our nation? You know what? How many of you were struggling with how the election's going, just out of curiosity? Now, let me say this. I felt like I was under a spiritual attack. You know what Satan was doing to me? And I don't know that I can say that he ever did this before. But he was using scripture on me. He did it with Christ, did he not? He told Christ, it is written. Cast thyself down. He was using scripture, and he was using two verses of scripture in particularly on me most of the day to day. Oh, yeah, your Bible says that you've been quoting, righteousness exalts a nation, sins a reproach to any people, and God, you know, loves righteousness and he hates sin. Oh, by the way, Kevin, you remember how you said how he made the promise to Abraham that he would bless those that bless Abraham and his seed, and he'd curse them? Well, your president has been doing everything for Israel, and it doesn't look like you're getting blessed from it. I mean, those are true verses, and he was challenging me on if they're really that true. I'd never had that happen before. And then the Lord gave me one verse. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts higher than yours. You see, Satan can't alter what God has said. These are still truths. He's a liar. So we find rest in these areas. Now watch what it says here, that Martha was cumbered about much serving. And he said, bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now watch what Jesus says. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. The word cumbered here means to drag all around, to be distracted and full of care. Matter of fact, he goes on and stipulates that she's careful and troubled. It means that Martha was very anxious and that Martha was disturbed. And she says, what Mary has chosen to sit and to rest at my feet and just take in the word. He says that was needful. That word needful means this is what's necessary. This is what she has employed herself in. When you get hired, you are looking for a job and you're looking for a place of employment. The word employ means to keep busy, to engage in. So this is what she was engaged in. She became employed at sitting and resting at the feet of the Master. So we're talking about why Christians should be happy, and we have seen because we are redeemed and because we are resting. But look at Psalm 91, if you would. Psalm 91, we'll look at the third one real quickly here. Got four of them. Psalm 91, verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's read that one again. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. Man, you have to be pretty close to somebody to be under their shadow. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Watch verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. In Him will I trust. The third thing is reason why we should be happy, the Christian should be happy, is there our Lord is, the our refuge is the Lord. Excuse me. Our refuge is the Lord. The word refuge, as you know, speaks of a shelter, protection from danger, to bring relief and to aid. It speaks of shelter, protection from danger, relief, and to bring aid to. Psalm 9 and verse 9 says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. The word oppressed there means those that are injured or have been crushed. Wow. Evidently, folks, understand something here. That's a good thing, that God is a refuge to those who have been crushed. Amen? Would you say that's a good thing? But did you catch that? Sometimes we get crushed. I'm trying to think of a verse that just flashed through my mind. I don't know if I can remember where it's even at. It's Old Testament. I'm trying to think how it even goes, where he says, he jumped over, leaped over walls and ran through the enemy or something like that. Anybody know what it is? I ran through the enemy and jumped over walls. I can't think of where it is. And God is talking about God giving us victory, you know. But in order for us to have victory, we have to have the people in our way and the walls in our way that we have to conquer, you know, through Him. Psalm 91:2, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, look at there it is, He is my refuge. I think that as Christians today, it would be safe to say that we are all aware of the dangers in our world today. We hear it on the news. We see it on our laptops or our phones. There's ever-increasing crime, ever-increasing iniquity, lawlessness is taking place. We're aware of all that, are we not? But we need to also be aware of God's watchful care as our refuge in time of trouble. In Psalm 27, verse 1, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? How many of you have ever had to flee for your life from somebody else on a daily basis? They were seeking just you out to kill you. Anybody here? That's coming from somebody who had that taking place, David. David was fleeing from Saul day after day after day after day. Even there was a time when he had to flee from Absalom. Psalm 46 says, God is, present tense, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, look, I like this part here. Therefore, will not we fear? Now watch. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And then he says, think about that. Selah. And then after we see all this ruckus and all this violence and all this concern, then he says, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariots in fire. And then that very famous verse, be still, verse 10, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Those are 11 verses. And in those 11 verses, there's one word that shows up four times in those 11 verses. And it's the word though. T-H-O-U-G-H. Though is used four times. And the word though means even if or in spite of the fact. In spite of the fact the earth is going to be removed. In spite of the fact that the mountains will be carried into the midst of the sea. Think about that, folks. The mountains will be carried into the midst of the sea. In spite of that fact, the waters are roaring and are troubled. And in spite of the fact that mountains will shake and shall with swelling. In spite of the fact of all of these things don't change the fact of who our God is and where our God is. Is seated tonight. God is our refuge and strength. And for that, we as Christians should be happy. Remember, Phil Robertson coined the thing, happy, 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 you know? Well, the word happy here in our text means happy, oh, how happy. It's speaking about being gleeful, joyful in this thought, that I am redeemed. That I have rest. I don't have to fret and worry. I don't have to. I can choose to, but I should choose not to because I'm my trust. And he's my refuge. And then lastly, we should be happy because we will also ultimately reign with him. Revelation 22:5. Well, I'm going to read verse 1 too. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. This is a heavenly view. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Folks, we're going to see this one day. That what we're reading right now, we will see. Our faith will become sight. It's proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and no need of candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth the light unto them. They shall reign forever and ever. They shall reign, the servants shall reign, forever and ever. You know, I remember, I've shared this before. Here's this throne. Here's this living water that flows from the throne of God and from the Lamb. And as it goes out, there's a tree of life there. It's bringing forth. Every month is bringing some type of fruit. And this month it's oranges. Next month it's apples. Next month, who knows what it is. There's 12 manner of fruit. I led a guy to the Lord who had just gotten out of prison. Maybe I've shared this before. He had been in prison a long time, got out 1 year early for good behavior. He had spent about 17 or 18 years in prison. His wife had gotten saved. His kids had gotten saved at our church at Fair Park. He gets out. He's going to a halfway house. Finally, he gets to go home after all of this. And he says, my family, he goes, you got to come over and talk to me. He goes, my family is different than when I left them 17 years ago. Long story short, his name is Johnny Salas. And he ends up getting converted. He gets saved a night or two before my folks did. I led him to the Lord on a Monday, them, I think, on a Tuesday, I think. And he gets saved, and he is excited. We get him baptized, and make a longer story shorter, okay? He ends up going in. He wasn't feeling good. And he goes in for the doctor, and they check him, and he's filled with cancer. No hope at all. No surgery, no treatments, nothing. And you could just watch him. He was a short guy, but he was big. I mean, he was a big upper body guy. And you could just see his muscles just within weeks begin to just come to nothing. The cancer was just taking him over. And his son, little Johnny, told him about this, because I preached not long after he got saved on this topic here of Revelation. And he goes, Dad, remember when Brother Kevin was preaching about the throne of God? And he said, there was a living water that came out of the throne and out of the Lamb. You remember when he goes, you're going to get to see that. And he goes, Johnny, and he grabs his son. He goes, Johnny, Brother Kevin said that there was a tree of life there too. He said that that tree had 12 different fruit every month, a different fruit. He goes, you remember that? He goes, I remember that, Dad. He goes, son, he goes, I'll be waiting for you by the tree. Whew, wow. What a thing. A new convert is thinking that mindset. And by the way, it was the grace of God that he got out 1 year early for good behavior. He would have died in prison without hearing about Christ. God is so gracious to us. That ought to be a reason for us to be happy. Christians should be happy because of what God is doing for us right now. But we should also be happy and rejoicing over what is coming down the road. Folks, you ever heard the phrase, the best is yet to come? It is. The best is yet to come. He is preparing Jesus as an eternal home for us in John 14. And you and I will be reunited with our friends and our family, redeemed loved ones. He's coming again, and the Bible says we'll see him face to face for the very first time. We step out of this world by faith, and we step into the next one by sight. We get to see him. We get to see him. Turn back to 1 Kings. I know I'm running late here. I'm about a minute late, so it's not too bad for Kevin. 1 Kings chapter 10. I want to read these because these are very important here. In 1 Kings chapter 10, look what it says in verse number 1. It'll be a very familiar story once you see where we're at. And it says in verse number 1, 1 Kings 10, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train and camels and bare spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat at his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She was overwhelmed that even his servants were dressed majestically. And she said, verse 6, to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land, and of thy acts of thy wisdom, and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I had heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold. And the list goes on and on and on and on. Incredible. She says, I've heard all of this. And yet when I see it, the half was not told me. Now we jump into the New Testament Gospel of Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is speaking. And he goes back to this story. And in Matthew 12, listen to what he says in verse 42 as he speaks. He says, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The great physician Luke writes in Luke chapter 11, verse 31, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Folks, we can talk about, read about, imagine all we want about the glory of heaven. The right robes of righteousness as happy servants, just like she heard about everything about Solomon and his kingdom. But when we get there, eye had not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the thoughts of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. We might not like the outcome of the election, but that should not keep us from being happy Christians. That should not be the basis of our joy. Psalm 144:15, happy. Oh, how happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Why should we be happy Christians? Are you redeemed tonight? Amen. Are you resting in the Lord, not fretting? Yeah, okay. We got the redemption down. We're sure of that one, aren't we? That was God's doing. Well, God says, the resting is my doing too, but you've got to rest in me. Trust me. I'm your refuge. And by the way, don't let me forget, you will reign with me one day as well. It's coming, folks. Be a Mary and choose the good part, which the Bible says is beneficial. Happy, oh, how happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this evening. We thank you even now, Lord, that thy will is being done for this election. It may not be what we thought. It may be what we prayed and hoped for. We rest in your decision. We can trust you. We can rest in you. We know that you are our place of sanctuary, that we're under the shadow of the Almighty. And that, Lord, one day we're going to go to this prepared place that you've gone to bring us to meet you to. May we be the salt and may we be the light in this hour that our world needs. You said that we're to look out onto the fields, the souls of men, and you said that they are white, ready to harvest. They're ripe and ready. May we no longer excuse ourselves from sharing the gospel, leaving literature, giving a testimony, whatever it may be. May we seek souls while we have the opportunity. May we be exactly what you said we should be. We should be happy Christians whose God is the God of Israel. And we just pray that you give us safety heading home tonight. Watch over us, and may we continue to contemplate and go over this lesson tonight, dear Father, in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.